Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, a tried and tested servant of God. How many of you think you had a bad day? Let me see your hands. Just one? One honest person. I just shared with you just a snapshot of my day. Other than that, it was pretty good. There was once an individual that was filling out an accident insurance form. Have you ever had to do that? Very interesting. Sometimes they get kicked back for additional information. Here's the testimony of one who experienced a rather tragic and unique accident who was involved in the legal entanglement of all of the paperwork, the paper shuffle. Dear sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information on my accident. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put poor planning as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter to me that I should explain more, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry the bricks down hand by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, loaded the 500 pounds of bricks into it, and then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note, however, in block number 11 of the accident report form that I weigh 175 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and the broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, however, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time I had regained my presence of mind, and I was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in block number 11. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up, and this accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and the lacerations of my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I am sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to move, and watching the barrel 6 stories above, I lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. Well, you thought you were having a bad day. You know, there are a lot of people in the Bible that have had some bad days. Consider those who were taken captive even at early years of their lives, such as Daniel. Consider the plight of those who were commanded to preach to the hardened hearts of those who were captive by sin. Today we're going to give consideration to someone that kept on having some bad days for quite a few years. What makes this person so interesting is that in the midst of these difficult situations, he shows tremendous courage. And you probably guessed it by turning to Genesis 37. This person is Joseph. We note that he's the favorite son of Jacob. He was the 11th son. He was the first son of Rachel, who was his favored wife. When he was a young man, 17 years of age, he experienced some interesting occurrences in his life. Genesis chapter 37. Notice here in our passage of Scripture his place of what I call preferential treatment. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. The Hebrew reads a Babylonian tunic from Shinar. Beautiful coat, long full coat of many colors. This resulted in sibling rivalry. Just like Jacob and Esau, we see here sibling rivalry. Look at verse 2. His father was present, and it says, Joseph, the latter part of verse 2, brought unto his father an evil report regarding the activities of his other brothers. Well, this was something that created even more sibling rivalry, for the sons knew that Joseph was the favored son of Israel. And now, some unsolicited information is being given about their nefarious activities. Have you ever seen that happen in a family? Sometimes one child will squeal on another. And sometimes the motives might be less than virtuous, perhaps to draw attention from themselves. But there was just a little bit of a spirit of pride in Joseph's life, I believe. I can say that without reading into the passage. He enjoyed his preferred position, and sometimes I believe he may have taken a little bit too much joy in the conveyance of his dreams and the timing of when he did so. But I want you to notice there are some things stand out to us in the life of Joseph in our part one message that we're delivering this evening. And that is this. There are three tests that we're going to note in Joseph's life that reveal his faithfulness to God. There's the test of adversity, the test of the body, the test of the soul, and perhaps I might even add, number four, the test of prosperity. Those four tests that we're going to note in our passage of Scripture that we will be studying for the next 2 weeks. I knew an evangelist. His name was Reuben Ewart. Any of you ever heard of the evangelist Reuben Ewart? That's an interesting name. He said every time you go to Denny's and you order a Reuben sandwich, think of me and pray for me. You know what a Reuben sandwich is? What's the prominent characteristic of a Reuben sandwich? Corned beef, but what else? Sauerkraut. Yeah, now some of you are going to say, when did you get pregnant? Anybody that eats a Reuben sandwich and a glass of milk, you know that they're going to be coming out with some news or something. It's interesting here that Reuben Ewart describes what he calls the bump spill concept. That when trials and testings come in your life, the bumps of life, what comes out is actually what has always been there. I prefer to call it the old teabag theology. When you run through hot water, what comes out often reveals what's in the teabag. Well, I'd like for us to have a couple of observations about the adversity that Joseph faced. First of all, he had a dream in verses 5 through 7. Now, keep in mind that dreams are interesting. But in Bible days, God often provided dreams for the purpose of communicating his what we call special revelation. Special revelation is none other than the contents of this book. God, in the dispensation in which he was communicating God's word, oftentimes conveyed his word through dreams. Now, if you have a dream today, there are several reasons for it. It might have been that double cheeseburger that Tony ate at 11:30 Wednesday night. That will cause some dreams, okay? Sometimes dreams serve as a catharsis, a purging of your body from a lot of the stress and tension of the day. It's not God's program today to reveal himself through dreams. Now, in power, he can do so. I have experienced individuals that told me that I had a dream, and through that dream, God prepared me for a certain situation that was to come about. That can happen. But it's not God's program today to lead us through dreams. And certainly God is not revealing any more of the Word of God through dreams. God has put a big period at the end of Revelation 22. But during this period of time here, the Word of God says Joseph dreamed a dream. Look at verse 5. And he told it to his brethren. You know, there's that little bit of, you know, getting the stick and jabbing it in the ribs, you know. Joseph used to kind of like to, it seems, do that. You know, he conveyed information to the parents in verse 2. And perhaps some of the adversity that he's going to go through may be to polish off some of those characteristics. Now, keep in mind that Joseph had a sin nature, just like I do and you do. We dare not canonize him. Some would. It's true. The biblical revelation of his life, it seems like he stands out unequivocally righteous in his dealings before men. But yet we know that God allowed trials in his life for a reason. And perhaps there may have been some couched pride in his life here. But he was quick to share the dream with his brothers, it says in verse 4. And what was the response? Well, boy, that was like throwing propane on the fire. It says they hated him. And notice, it says they could not speak peaceably unto him. Have you ever been in a home where people can't speak peaceably to each other? If you wonder why everything, you know, ends up in a shouting match and a yelling match, and there's rivalry between children, and it seems that in one moment it's a lighting of a wick of fire that explodes, it's a sign that there is unresolved conflicts. Things that have not been dealt with, that have been swept under the carpet. You know, it happens in homes. Lack of communication, lack of time together, things are swept under the carpet, and before you know it, it's open warfare. They cannot speak peaceably one with another. Such was the case in Joseph's life with his brothers, and there was unresolved conflict. They hated him, yet the more, the Word of God says. So he had a dream, but I want you to notice another thing regarding his adversity. Not only did he have a dream, but he was despised. He was absolutely despised. The dream is shared here. It says, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" You know, who are you, you little twerp? That's the Revised Standard Pereira version. Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brethren. So he had these dreams, and notice the content of the dream. The sun, the moon, 11 stars made obeisance unto me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. He said, hey, listen, we can't take this anymore. There's just too much warfare. Keep these dreams to yourself. Not only did he have a dream, but he was despised. Now, in verse 12, there's something good about Joseph here. We see he was dependable. He was a dependable young man. The brethren go to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel says unto Joseph, hey, your brothers are feeding the flock. I'm going to send you there. I've got some things for you to send to them and take them and just check on them. Verse 14, see if things are going well. Send me word again. And so he goes on his way. You know, he was a dependable man. But notice verse 27, he was delivered up. When his brothers saw him coming, he was given over to the Ishmaelites. He had been cast into a pit, and he was delivered unto the enemy. And they said, come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And of course, we have the plan that they took Joseph's coat, and they dipped it in the coat of goat's blood, and then, of course, they brought it to their father and fabricated his demise through that. The test of adversity. And yet, in Genesis 37, Joseph had to go through a great deal of trial. Now, let's skip over to Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to notice another test that Joseph had to go through, and that's the test of the body. The test of the body. In the test of adversity, we see Joseph in the pit, but now the test of the body, we're going to see Joseph in the palace. God providentially works. Joseph is brought down to Egypt, an officer of Pharaoh, an Egyptian. Recent study has indicated that he could very well have been a man who was a eunuch. And he was made a eunuch by man as a result of his position. And here he was, Joseph is under the authority of the officer of Pharaoh. You know what I like about this passage? The Bible tells us in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. No matter what happens in your life, here's a 17-year-old boy. And here he's brought into a strange land, sold to the enemy, and yet the Lord is with Joseph. Look at how often God's presence is emphasized. When you are going through trials and testings, keep in mind Emmanuel, God with us. Look at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph when he was in Egypt, you see. Look at verse 23. At the end of the chapter, the Lord was with him. You know, in Genesis 39, the presence of the Lord stands almost like bookends, guarding him before and behind. The presence of the Lord. And then take a look at what the Word of God says in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. You know, the Bible says, though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Are you going through a trial, a time of testing in your life? I remember when I was a young boy, we used to have a huge boulder in our backyard in Long Island, New York. And we had a very long rectangular yard that went about 3 or 4 acres to the back. And we had a German Shepherd dog, and that dog used to stand on that big mound like Rin Tin Tin. We called our dog Rin Tin Tin. Now, some of you that are 40 and under don't even know who Rin Tin Tin is. We always used to forget toys in the backyard. And my dad, he was smart. He always used to say, "You go get those toys. I don't care if it's 9 o'clock at night and it's dark out there. You left those toys out there. You go and get those toys. The Lord is with you. You go out there and get those toys." So I'd go out there and I'd start singing Sunday school songs. And I'd say, "I'm going to start singing. Maybe the boogeyman's out there. I don't know what's out there. But you know what? If he is, I'm going to get him saved." And I started singing songs, quoting scripture, doing anything. But you know what? I got those toys. I learned that the Lord was always with me, whether it's daylight or darkness. And here Joseph, 17 years old. Can a 17-year-old boy stand for the Lord victoriously? You know, we've got young men that are being taken overseas to serve their country. I met a dear lady in a Bible study in Mansfield, Pennsylvania, during the Sunday school hour, who had her young son going off to Iraq. And we prayed together and shared together, and she was talking about how hard it was going to be as he'll be deployed. And yet we shared the fact that it's the same God over there that can care for him. Being in the will of God, he's safe in the will of God, whatever the case might be. And God's presence is with you. And I want to share six things that God's presence can give you. No matter what you're facing tonight, there are six things that God's presence before and behind you, just like it is in Genesis 39, verse 2, verse 23. God's presence. First of all, this. Number one, God's presence can give you the peace of God. He wants to give you peace. Notice it says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. He's brought into the hands of Potiphar. The Lord is with Joseph, verse 2. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over all of his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass. I like that phrase, it came to pass. Because trials will come to pass. And here, he's experiencing the blessing of God. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He had the peace of God, knowing that God was with him. But you know, he also had the power of God. When you are in the will of God and you want to obey the Lord, you can also have the power of God. Notice in verse 7, the power of God in his life. And it was power over temptation. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, because she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house." He doesn't withhold anything that is with me. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? And notice, he doesn't say just sin against Potiphar. He says sin against God. In Psalm 51 and verse 4, you recall David in his sin with Bathsheba said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And the word of God says in verse 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. You see, victory over the flesh is a day by day battle, not just a one-time battle. Oftentimes sin will come back. Yesterday's victory is not necessarily victory for the next day. We have to depend upon the Lord daily. But let's remember, He's with us. He's with us. Verse 2, verse 23. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there. She caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us." You know, they say that there's a thin line between love and hate. And here was a rejected woman. Keep in mind that Potiphar was probably a eunuch. And here she is seeking perhaps other means, you see, of meeting her needs. And probably she had been unfaithful to several individuals and successfully. But here we find that she lies about his situation to cover up the rejection, emphasizes that he's a Hebrew to invoke persecution, and then she says, "He forced me, he tried to attack me and to rape me. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." There was the scenario that was made. And she laid up his garment until his Lord came home. Notice we have here Potiphar's response. He throws him in jail. You know, under Egyptian law, that would have been a capital offense. The fact that Potiphar didn't throw him in jail probably indicates that Potiphar may not have believed that he really did it. But he had to save face. He knew that his wife was that type of person. So, therefore, in order to do some type of act, he throws him in jail. But if he really believed it, I believe he would have exercised Egyptian law and killed him and executed him on the spot. But he did not. He throws him in jail. But nonetheless, he is in jail. By the way, 13 years Joseph is in jail. He had the peace of God. He had the power of God. He refused. But you know what? When you do right, does outward blessing always come? Not always immediately. But you know what? He had the right perspective against sin. He recognized that sin was inevitably against God. He had the peace of God, the power of God, the perspective of God, verse 9. He had the patience of God, verse 10. It came to pass day by day she tempted him, but he had patience in following God obediently. And look at verses 11 and 12. He had the protection of God. There was a way to escape. 1 Corinthians has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And the result of being obedient unto the Lord, notice, look at verse 21. Even though he's in jail, the Lord was with Joseph. Again, that emphasis, the Lord's presence, and showed him mercy, gave him favor of the prison. So Joseph was a man who couldn't be kept down. God continued to bless him in spite. But the overriding purpose of all of this, as we'll see next week, was that God wanted to provide an avenue whereby God's chosen people would have provision in a time of great famine and destitution. So keep your eye on the big picture. whenever you're going through a trial or testing, follow God obediently. Look what verse 21 says. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because he knew that the Lord was with him in that which he did. Now, let me just encourage you. Walk obediently with the Lord. Whenever we go against the Word of God and disobey God's Word, we cannot then claim the promise of the presence and guidance that He has for us in our lives. So therefore, we want to trust and walk obediently. Like the hymn writer said, trust and obey, for there's no other way. We're going to be looking at the test of the soul next week, and then the test of prosperity. We've seen Joseph in the pit, Joseph in the palace. Next week, we're going to see him in prison, and then once again in the palace and as a vehicle of blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about, Lord, the aspect of being in the place where you can speak to us and lead us. Thank you, Father, for the promises of your word that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for the promise that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord, for Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you to apply the searchlight of God's Word. Suffering, yes, will come in the life of a believer, but let it be for righteousness' sake, as Joseph, not for unrighteousness' sake. And allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart about areas in your life, my life, that I need to confess, repent of. As we go to prayer, we want nothing between our soul and the Savior. May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Father, bless us now as we go to prayer. And Lord, minister to each and every heart and heart need. Help us, Lord, to see that in the pathway of obedience is life everlasting. And you desire good things for us and not evil. But we must trust you. Trust you enough to obey you and follow you. And you'll lead us in the pathway of joy and fulfillment that we never could have had any other way but by being obedient to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.